Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you. My name is JM, and several of you have asked. My real name is John Michael. My mom's from Spain. Juan Miguel is a popular Spanish name, and so I don't have a middle name. I just have a $25 first name, right? Doesn't fit on any form. Anytime I get mailed to John Micah, I know that they don't know me, right? Because it all just fits on there. I'm the pastor of students and families, and I am just thrilled to be talking with you this morning, to be part of this family. I've already received, Rhonda and my wife and Leo and I have already received so many welcomes and gifts and stop-bys, and we've been to more pool parties, really, than we probably should have. Just already jumping into family here. And so thank you for making us feel welcome. I'm excited to see what God's going to do next with our students. And I'm excited to see how many of you are going to be part of that. One of the things that I have the opportunity to do when I'm up here is to just straight up recruit, right? Now, what I don't want to recruit is those of you who feel like you should. Because shoulding, I don't want to do that on you, right? I want those of you who feel called to pray on it. And then we can talk. And that's my 10-second commercial. Because today I want to talk to you about family. Now, when I say family, I'm curious. What are the things, what's the first word that comes to your mind? Talk back to me. I'm a very, in case you haven't noticed, if you took my hands away, I couldn't talk. So I'm going to require some interaction. If I say family, what are some of the words that come to your mind?
Comfort.
Comfort, good.
Children,
yes. What's that? Mom and dad, yep, spouse. Together. No one has said food yet. Did I hear food over here? Yeah. What's that?
Food.
Yeah, these are family things, right? The more the merrier, and the more the merrier because the more the food, right? The more the buffet line looks. Anytime there's potlucks, God's family has joined together in perfect harmony. Now, for some of us, family is not a good word. It's a painful place. And I want to talk about what family looks like for us. And that when we say the word family, we have to be aware that there is baggage for some of us, that we maybe don't know how to be family with each other. And in light of the Old Testament, what does family mean for us here? Let's take a look at the scripture we're going to be into today. It says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. For those of you with children trying to get to your son, maybe my mom has called me at least twice a day just to find out what's going on. And between the morning and the afternoon, not a lot has changed, but she wants to be in touch. She wants to know. She wants to see how much Leo has grown from the morning till the afternoon. Honestly, sometimes I can give her a report. It's at least a quarter inch. But they're outside. They want to speak to him. Someone told him, Jesus, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. Now, that's a big deal. Your family's here. They want to talk to you. And Jesus says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? I don't think that's the response they were anticipating. Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. People in the front row must have been like, oh, is that right? Upgrade. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. Now, Jesus says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Do we think that Jesus forgot? No. Do you think that he's maybe mad at them? Well, they didn't, you know, give me the bread when we broke it right. I don't know. No, we think he's making a point, right? Jesus often does this. He takes what is normal and throws it in the air. I love that about him. Because when your mother and brother are there and want to see you normally, what would you do? You would stand up, excuse me, everyone, and go speak to your mother and brothers because they are important to you. Now, there's a deeper context here. because when it comes to family, bloodlines were important. But he says, no, that's not what's most important. In fact, what's most important, not who you're related to, but here are my mothers and brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. He is breaking a very old understanding and really a very old emphasis. See, it used to be that who you were was a big deal. In fact, they were called the children of Abraham, right? They were called the descendants of Abraham. What Jesus is saying here is that family is different. And my point today, if I want to give you, I want to fast forward to the end and give you the so what part of the message right here. Being family points to God. Now, back in the day, it pointed to God because who you were related to meant you were part of the chosen people of God. If you are a child of Abraham, the children of Abraham, that meant you were a descendant of Abraham. You were in line for God's table. You got first dibs. You had influence. You were important. But see, when you look at family, it says all the descendants of a common ancestor. Used to be in the Old Testament, who you related to got you a place in society, got you a financial benefit. It talked about your privilege, what you were and weren't allowed to do. In fact, I couldn't have been a pastor because I wouldn't have been related to Abraham. Only people who were in the Levitical, right, related to Levi, they were the only ones. I mean, your job was already defined for you if you were born into that family. You had only a few options. Your overall quality of life was tied to who you were related to, the bloodline. What Jesus does, we become part of the family. The family tree is expanded to include you and me because we were outside the bloodline, but now we are included. And all Jesus says is those who obey my Father, those are the ones who are adopted into my family. Our common ancestor is now Jesus Christ. And with this common ancestor, we are called to be family with each other. Why? Because the way we are family to each other points to God. Now, I don't know how your family is around Christmas, but my family's loud. When my family walks through a store and we're buying things, people get out of the way because they're just a little nervous. Now, I've sensed some very strong family ties here, and I have seen some of your families kind of herd out the door together, and I resonate with that, right? And there are people watching our family, this family, and they're curious, if I became part of that family, what would happen? Would I be accepted? Would I be loved? Because the ways that we are family with each other tell people about God. Can you hear that? That the ways we love or don't love each other tell people about what is the truth about God. The way we are family with each other points to Christ and either magnifies or minimizes our family. So how do we do this? If we want to talk about being family, what does it mean to be the family of God? And when I say the family of God, some of you in the back of your mind, you already know the song that's playing on the old Play School cassette tape in your preschool, right, classroom. I'm so glad I'm a part, you know it, of the family of God, right? So if you weren't there at Sunday school, then you missed a very repetitive song that kind of just goes over that and that and that. It basically says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Well, what does it mean and look like to be part of a family of God? If we're going to be a family of God that points to Christ, the first thing we can do is speak truth to each other. And some of you guys are loaded up for this. I'm ready to speak some truth to my family. I got it. I got three in my back pocket, actually, for that guy right there. And tell him about his shoes, about his kids, about the way he parked his car this morning. Don't point. That's not nice. But I don't mean just telling truth about things you don't like, things you want to change, things you want to fix. I'm saying tell the truth about yourself. The scripture here is very, it's not subtle. Do not lie to each other. Okay. Can you let that sink in? Doesn't say sometimes. Doesn't say kind of. Doesn't say keep it, you know, as you know, do not lie to each other. Why? Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Being renewed. If you want to be family with each other, we have to speak the truth, not just about what we think about you, but about ourselves. How are you doing this morning? Man, I'm fine. Everything's good. Is it? Because sometimes we hide in this place. Sometimes we hide even among our family members, and there's a variety of reasons. Maybe we're just struggling, either spiritually or with something that's happening in our lives. We're just, things are difficult. And sometimes we feel a little bit of shame that we don't have it all together. Because aren't we all supposed to have it all together? If we really have faith in God, aren't we just completely leaning on Him? And isn't it just joy every morning and God's love every night? And aren't we just happy all day long? And I don't know anybody like that. There are people who are struggling in this place who are us, who maybe either don't feel safe or don't feel permission to be real. And that's not a bad thing. That's something we can change. Because you know who starts that? Us. Me. We can speak truth about ourselves. The times and places where we're struggling, where we need help, where we desperately need help. But sometimes we just want to fit in. I work with teenagers, so I know how this goes. Sometimes we want to fit in and not stand out. Sometimes we don't want to be a burden, and we're just not sure what it means to be truthful. Can I encourage you to speak the truth to each other, not text the truth to each other? Because there's just something missing sometimes in tone. If that's what you got, then that's what you got. Go for it. But there's nothing like words spoken in person, eye to eye, face to face. Can I encourage you not to post the truth to each other? Because we don't really speak truth when we post the truth to each other. We kind of post the truth at each other. And I've played enough dodgeball to know when a ball's coming my way. I get out of the way. If you want to speak truth and love to each other, let's speak that in person and have conversations that are uplifting, because that's what family does. Now, my family, when we have animated conversations, there's a lot of table pounding. Any tables get pounded, right, at your place, especially around holidays? Because there's strong conversations, strong opinions. But you know what happens? After it's all over, all the dishes are made, all the leftovers, everyone goes to the door. And as we leave, you know what everybody does? We hug it out. Even the guy you were fighting with 10 minutes ago, we hug it out. We can't get rid of each other. We can't. Some of us have tried. We can't. Family's family. And it's the same way here. If you claim Christ, you can't get rid of us. Leo is 5 years old, and we fostered to adopt him. We got him when he was 5 months old. And we had him the whole time until he was about 3 and change. And we went to the judge, the ceremony in the chambers during COVID. It was crazy. There were only a few of us there, and they let family come in. And the judge said, you know, Leo, here's what's going to happen. You're going to choose to be, your family has chosen to have you be part of their family. And he banged. We did not tell him to do this, I promise. He banged on the table. No, this is my family. And the judge goes, she kind of took a step back. You're right. This is your family now. He goes, no, this is my family, and there's nothing you can do about it, in the most authoritative 3-year-old voice. And everybody in the back is just weeping. My wife and I are crying, and we're laughing, and it's great. And we chose him, and he is, and they are, and so are you. And he's going to be running around here, and you are his family too. Our closest relatives live at least 10 hours away. Now, Mimi, his mother-in-law is kind of his person. She's here. My mother-in-law is here all the time. But you guys are going to be here more, and you're his family. There's nothing you can do about it. And most of Christianity is caught, not taught. My best prayer is that he catches God's love from you. And not just him, but the person sitting 2 seats down from you. The person sitting 3 seats down from you. By not lying and speaking the truth to each other, we are family authentically with each other. Why is it so important to do this? Well, because being family points to God. It really does. So speak truth to each other and be present with each other. What do I mean by being present with each other? Well, when you need someone, they're there. That when I'm talking to you, you're here with me. And a cell phone turned on its face on the table is not any less active, by the way. Right? So being present with each other is important. Why is it important? Well, Jesus, take a look.
Jesus, I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you. I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
All right, well, this is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right.
Right. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Yes, I do trust you. I'm gonna fall
okay.
back.
Woo! Oh, okay.
That's great.
Okay. Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay, I'm gonna do it.
All right.
I'm really gonna do it.
Okay. Good. You're ready for level two!
Level two, here
yes.
I come, baby! Woo!
Whoa!
Whoa.
Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Yeah, okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Woo! Forward fall.
Okay.
I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay, wait for my signal.
Oh, right, the Jesus signal.
Yes, the okay. Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you so much!
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus, I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
It looks that way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
Did you catch what she says there? There's nobody back there. She didn't say, you're not back there. There's nobody back there. See, I've shown this video dozens of times to different camps and times where I've got to speak to students, and I just got it last week, a new take on that when she falls forward, Jesus isn't going to like zoom around, teleport, or like duplicate himself, or the Holy Spirit's not going to show up looking just like Jesus again. It's not what, the point of the video is that we are the people who catch her. That when God says fall forward, that means trust my people. They will be there for you. They are going to be my skin and bones, and they will catch you. You just have to trust them. Ooh, sounds easy. Just trust them. There are many people who are not in church because they've been hurt, not by Jesus himself, but by us, by people in church, not by you. But by people in church. And when Jesus says, fall forward into the arms of the people of God, they say, I won't. You don't know what they did. I won't because of the way they treated me. And maybe some of us here say, I can't because I do it myself. I can handle it. I'll fall into your arms, Jesus, just you and me. But if it comes to fixing stuff, maybe I can probably do it better myself. I don't want to involve too many people because then it would get messy. And can I tell you, friends, that family is messy. So how do we open our arms and invite those who maybe would not typically come here to say, you can trust the love of God in my arms? That I want to be family with you, and I will be here for you. I will catch you. We have to be present. Not try and fix everything that's broken, that's hurting, that's painful at the same time. We just have to, first of all, be present. You know, we have exit interviews all the time with students who leave our youth ministry, and we ask them, what was your favorite part of youth ministry? You know what the things that that they say? Well, what I have never, ever heard is, you know, Jim, the way you took scripture and God's word and humor and all the points that you made and the beautiful graphics and wove them together into messages that shaped my life, it changed me. Not one time. Never. Never. You know what they say? I remember the time we went to mission trip to Mexico and the tire broke off the front. You were trying to change it, and then the truck came by on the highway and thing almost fell on you and killed you. It was great. I remember that. Remember the time we were in the Bahamas and we were out on the thing and we were looking at the glass bottom thing and there were sharks and they said, hey, who wants to go swim with sharks? And we all jumped in and you panicked and because that wasn't part of the original, you know, brochure. Yeah, I do remember that. And I get a little triggered when they talk about it. They say, you remember the time my grandparents died and we went to Sonic and sat for 2 hours and said nothing? Yeah, I didn't feel very good about that. That was important to you. He said, that changed my life. I remember it was Chris and Travis Walks there, their grandparents. I'd been there like 2 weeks. Their grandfather died, and we went to Sonic, and we sat there. Not one word was said. I went home feeling like a failure. I told my wife, I was like, I'm not good at this. I don't know what God's calling me to do. Like, youth ministry apparently isn't it, because these kids are needing something. And they didn't need one word from me. They needed to be there, to be present. People may not need one word from you. They just may need you to be present with them. And that's being family, sitting next to each other through the great stuff, through the hard stuff. And the way we're family with each other points to God. Because how cool is it to have a reputation that we care for everyone who comes around here, that they feel it because we're with them. Being family is important because it points to God. Speak truth to each other, be present with each other, and then being available for each other. Now, this means you got to have some space in your life, some room when somebody calls at 2 a.m. Now, if you're calling at 2 a.m., it's better be important. Not like, hey, I can't find my keys. Do you know where they are? No. But when people need us, are we available? I have an illustration. I met a friend of mine named Mikey. He was over here playing the keys a minute ago. Mikey, can you come out and help me? I want to show you what this looks like. I'm kind of a visual learner. Maybe that's you. Because sometimes in our lives, we try and hold a lot of stuff. And I don't know about you, but moving here, I have a lot of things that I'm holding that are not typical. Mike, you're heading to college, is that right? And so there's a lot of things. You're playing football in college. Okay, and your scholarship, right? Come on now. And plays the piano. Like, what? That's crazy. There's a lot of things that you got to hold to do all those things, right? So I made some examples. So school, that's going to be important because the school things are important because scholarship and the job. Football is almost a job. And as you prepare for your job, yeah. And family, that's important. Family's a big one. We mentioned football. You have to hold that one because otherwise there's no school. Okay, let me help. You dropped your job. You got to show up for that. And then music, obviously you have that. You got music in spades. And there's fun, because college and fun. Okay, hold that. And then don't forget rest. You got to have some rest there in the middle. And don't forget, you have to have time for God. Right here, okay. So, wow, your plate's full. Would you say? Well, you can't because you're holding with the, okay. So what happens if somebody needs you? You seem pretty booked. Man, the God almost hit the door. Oh, no, rest. Oh my, what is happening here? Let's see what happens if, I don't know, an opportunity comes your way. How can we, maybe a curveball. The Holy Spirit throws you an opportunity. Galen, would you help me with this? Do you have a thing that I gave you earlier that, oh, yeah. You stand just over, have you thrown a football before? Kyle, yeah. I've heard. Now, Mikey, you play football. The goal is to not only hold the things you're holding, but we'll just call this an opportunity the Holy Spirit has presented to you. And the goal is to catch that and hold that. It's Nerf. Don't be nervous. No Mikeys will be hurt in the doing of this particular illustration. Galen, fire at will. Be kind. Oh no. Mike, what happened? What happened? You dropped. Oh no, you can't play football anymore. There's no school. That's a career-ending injury, I guess. School, that scholarship, and oh, you dropped God? And the friendships that you had, and you didn't even catch the new thing that God sent your way. Woo! A good effort, though. So let's see, you got to hold on to the fun and the rest and music and some of the things. Can we get up for Mikey? Thank you so much. Let's put the rest of these things in there. See how far you can get with them. Yeah. Here, hold on. Galen, you should probably hold the Holy Spirit. That's just kind of what you do. Now, I don't know what all you're holding. My question is, are you holding too much? Is your life booked every minute of the day? Are you working so hard that you can't make time? Are you available for what the Holy Spirit offers to you? My wife and I dated a little bit during the summer while we were at a camp, but our first official real date had a little bit of a curveball. Earlier in the day, a guy, I lived in Oklahoma City, is going to Southern Nazarene University. That's right. And a guy was on the corner. He was homeless. His name was Eric, and he was needing some stuff, and I told him that I would have a meal for him. I had a place for him to sleep that night. Some friends of mine were all sharing an apartment, and we had a couch, and I told him he could stay there. I said, I'm going to come back here in an hour, and I'll pick you up and take you. He said, I'll be right here. I said, okay. Came back, Eric wasn't there. I said, oh, man. I drove around looking for him, couldn't find him. I had a date with Rhonda that night. It was our first real date. I had plans. I picked her up, was heading over to where we were going, and sure enough, Eric is right there. Now, I could have, but I was going to roll right up to him. I could have looked away. I could have said, hey, you know what? That offer had a limited time only. It expired as soon as I picked up this girl. So now I can't do both these things. And I hadn't explained to Rhonda really what was going on, but I couldn't drive past him. I just couldn't do it. Because I promised him. And so I told Rhonda, hey, I explained to her in about 30 seconds what was going on. She said, of course. And that was the moment I knew. This one's mine. And we abandoned our plan. We made food for him at home, and he stayed at our house, and he was gone in the morning. Do you have room? Or are your plans more important? Because the scripture is really, really specific here. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Okay. It's not wrong. It's not easy, but it's not wrong. Is there space in your life? Are you available to help those who need it? Because being family points to God. I just met my next door neighbor. We're staying at the parsonage. I met her 2 weeks ago. She's funny. She's an older lady. She works at a shipping company, and she's kind of the dispatcher, and I could tell her voice probably plays well with the guys that are driving because she's no-nonsense all the time. And she invited us over to her son's birthday party or her nephew's birthday party. It was great, I've talked with her probably 3 times. My mother-in-law came over. She talked to her 1 time, and while my mother-in-law was here, she developed bronchitis. And last Wednesday, after having met her 1 time, she came over and she said, hey, are you okay? She came knocking on the door. I noticed she had some like chest stuff are you gonna be okay? Do you need some soup or anything? And my mother-in-law was like, it's okay. We're going to the doctor later on. What, do you need me to take you? Met her 1 time. I can do that, I can take you if you need me. If you need a ride or need anything, just let me know. And my mother-in-law was so good. She said, I'm okay. It's been a tough week, but it's been okay. How's your week? And asked her, and she said, well, actually, yesterday my company let me go. I'm not sure what I'm going to do now. I don't know who's going to hire me. And earlier this week, my sister died. And so it's been a hard week. Yeah. It's a really hard week. And what she wanted to do was help someone else. She had every excuse in the world to crawl back into the house and not talk to anybody for a long time. Not want to or be motivated to help anybody, but she made space in her life. As the band comes back, I want to ask you the question, how is what we do as family pointing to Christ? Because when we are family and when we do it right, is there any better way to show those who are here and those who are yet to be here and those who've been here and maybe aren't here for a particular reason, how beautiful the love of God can be when the family of God is doing what it does. I wonder, church, do you need your family a little bit more today? Maybe you're hurting or struggling or going through something. I want to encourage you to do one thing, to tell somebody that you need something. Are you in a place where you can give? I want to encourage you to ask someone, hey, can I do anything for you? Church, if we're going to be family, if we're going to point to God, we have to not be worried about how messy it gets, because you're going to get, Rhonda likes to say, dirt under your fingernails. When you're playing with each other in the garden, you're going to get messy. And isn't that great news? We're going to do this together because we're family. There's nothing you can do about it. And isn't that awesome? We are the children of the Most High God. And that's the thing that binds us together. That is forever. Not just this life, that is forever. That is forever and ever, world without end, kind of forever. So let us practice being the family here, that we will be there. Would you stand and pray with me? God, we come before you today, a family. Not a perfect family, but a family nonetheless, a family that needs each other. I pray, God, you would give us the courage to be truthful, the focus to be present, and the space to be available. And may your Holy Spirit flow between all those places. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.